Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my podcast co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in around the world.
And you're on the move right now, yeah?
I am. St. Augustine, Florida, the United States' oldest city.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. If you have never been here, it is so enjoyable and sweet and cute and touristy and lovely and friendly. Beautiful architecture of Flagler College. If you've never seen the Flagler College, if you're an architecture lover, if you love to sail, you can go sailing. If you like good food, they have good food here.
You know, I know that I know you like to take notes down about future shows. We need to do a show on favorite places in the United States that you and I have visited.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, give you know, we have done shows on the stress management of travel.
Right. I'm talking about the beauty.
Now we'll give you know, from a beauty, nature, aesthetic perspective, like what it does to try out these places.
Perfect. Well, speaking of beauty and being calm, our show today is the role of pets in stress relief. And but both of us are pet owners.
Yes.
I grew up with pets. I don't know about you.
I did.
I grew up with dogs myself. My sister had a cat, actually multiple cats, but had a cat. And I'm just going to kick off the show. We're going to jump right into the show today. I'm going to kick it right off by saying, I don't know if any of you are cat lovers, but I have never seen a guardian cat like my sister used to have. It would, if she was sick, it would, the cat would sit on her bed and it would hiss at any of us who came in the room. It was honest to God, mother cat that guarded her. And then I remember another time her cat had a litter of kittens and she gave birth under my sister's bed.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, this was the safe place to be.
Yeah. Oh.
And so the cat felt like home. Now, I'm curious because I am a dog person. I'm certainly, we have a huge, I'm talking huge cat, black cat that lives in the backyard of Scotland Grove. It is not our cat. I go out there, and other than today where it's pouring, this cat lounges in the shade of the fruit trees of the orchard of the grove. And it walks around. Other than that, I'm not a cat person. So did you ever have cats?
I had a cat once with my ex-husband. Yes. And my grandparents had gray tabby cats. And every time one would die, it would be like Peter the First, Peter the Second, Peter the Third. It was always Peter, but you didn't know which one you were on. And they were all amazing tabby cats.
Great. Right. So here's the interesting thing. And we'll get into our animals and our pets because I happen to live with the most interesting dog in the world.
Of course you do.
Interestingly enough, I happened to pull up some surveys. I don't know if what you did to prepare for today's show.
Let's go for the surveys.
But I'm on the American Psychiatric Association website. And there's this whole thing that they came out with less than a year ago on the overwhelming positive mental health impact of pets.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, there's this huge push by cat owners as to how calming and loving And as part of the family, their cats are. Where my experience is, and we you see all the memes online, right? With the cats that literally don't, the cats that don't give a shit. If the cat does what the cat wants to do.
I have had one, yes.
Whereas, and we've talked about dogs in particular on shows before. You know, the dogs are loving and caring, and it's like, what can they do for you? And let me lick your face and all the rest of that stuff. Out of curiosity, did you have any other pets other than cats and dogs? Because I did growing up.
Did I have any others? No, I have always wanted a turtle or a tortoise. Oh, at one point I had an aquarium, a saltwater aquarium, which I absolutely loved our fish. That was in my college years, and I loved our fish, and that was a big part of our lives.
So my dad, I have very fond memories of my dad. My dad loved fish, among other animals. I actually grew up with horses as well. And, you know, this giant aquarium. I think at one point we may have toyed with saltwater, but it was freshwater. And we had angelfish and those little sucker fish along the bottom. And guppies. And, right, you had to feed the fish and you'd wash them. And that's, I think, may have been my first real exposure to nature. And the fact that, you know, fish eat their young ones. They eat themselves sometimes. And it's like, really? And so,
well, so do humans when they bite their nails.
And so you learn to segregate the fish out after the little fish, you know, the guppies are born. We had actually a separator in the tank to keep the guppies safe. I think at one point I raised frogs from a tadpole. It may have been a science experiment at school, now that I think about it.
I so love tortoises, Scott, that I was just talking to Brian last night about our show today. And Brian's my partner, for those of you that don't know. And he was saying that there's an amazing Saturday Night Live silly skit about how old tortoises live. And it's a game show where the prize is him trying to give away his tortoise that he got at age 6 because they live to like 175.
They're amazing. So just to be exhaustive today, I think the first pet I ever got through school, because it was, you know, in kindergarten, I had to bring home a guinea pig. And that was for kindergarten. My job was to take care of the guinea pig. I had hamsters growing up.
Okay.
I was hoping it wasn't
that the guinea pig died in your care.
No. We've always had hamsters. But here's a fascinating thing. I would normally say we, but I'm gonna be candid here with everybody. It was actually my wife, for a long period of time, raised bearded dragons.
Oh wow, so unique.
And these things were just amazing. They would sit there on your hand. For those that don't know, a bearded dragon is a rather large lizard. And they were docile and friendly, and they'd lick you. And they had this funny little personality that, excuse me, if they liked you, they like bob their head as they were. Of course, they also bobbed their head when they wanted to have sex with each other. But well, now that I think about it, I'm wondering why they were bobbing their head at me. But that's a whole nother thing.
Well, I have a little lizard that likes to do push-ups on the outside of my office window.
That's not what that means.
He's trying to flirt with me, I think.
He's flirting with you. So, but these things were amazing. And then Carolyn would raise them. They'd have eggs, and we had incubators, and it was just, so I've been around pets. Oh yeah. Absolutely amazing stuff.
One of my dogs in my life was a puppy from a boyfriend's it was my college love. It was, two of his dogs breeded, a Taco Bell looking brown Chihuahua and a black and white Lopsu Apsu, mated and brought into the world the most lovely of loveliest Bentleys, who should have been called Napoleon because he had little man's complex, but he actually looked like Toto. So I don't know how you get from Taco Bell brown Chihuahua and black and white Lapsu Apsu and then create Toto. But he was my mighty dog. Oh, I love
how
that
cool
dog.
Is that?
He came to class with, he would like, that's the joy of having your own pets who give birth, because you get to see them like before he even had his eyes open.
Yeah.
Scott, I used to hold him in the palm of my hand with his eyes closed and just, you know, brush his little head. He was my little man.
So
he got me through so much stress in my life.
So that's my most interesting dog in the world. We'll get to that in a minute. But
okay.
One of the coolest pets I ever had. Mm-hmm. I had a pet crow growing up.
A pet crow?
And what had happened is this little baby crow had fallen out of the tree in our backyard. Yes. And I found it and put it in a shoebox. And my mom showed me how to make formula for it. And I would hand feed, I would put the formula on my finger and be like the mother crow and put my finger and feed the crow. And the crow was named Shrimpenstein. And so I'm watching this crow grow. And I kept Shrimpenstein outside, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And Shrimpenstein got big enough to fly away. And didn't. And these are really, I got to tell you, crows are incredibly smart animals.
Oh, yes, they are.
Incredibly smart. And it knew to come over and get food. It still wanted to be fed. And at one point, you know how when you say goodbye to someone, particularly when they're dying, I don't want to make this morbid, but it's like you tell them it's okay to leave.
Yes, yes.
I finally told Shrimpenstein, look, there are other birds out there. It's okay to leave. It's time to go.
Yes.
And Shrimpenstein, I held him up and pushed him off, and he flew away and landed on the fence and wouldn't leave.
Well, you know, in the Native American tradition, crows are said to be walking between life and death, that they are kind of a guide for people to help them move from life into death with ease. Yeah, they're a very magical creature.
They are. So,
I
have very dear memories. Eventually, Shrimpenstein did fly away, although periodically I think he came back. I can't tell you other than...
That's a book.
Other than this crow kept coming back to the house periodically and it would sit there and cock its head. So the cool part is in our new home... periodically, there's a murder that takes place in the backyard. That's a large collection of crows, for those of you that don't know. And they sit there and we kind of talk to each other because they hang out over my labyrinth. In the backyard, there's this big tree.
Of course they hang out over
the labyrinth.
They're trying to escort all of the souls across into the great center.
So that's, obviously both of us have had pets intimately involved. I too, Presley, our little most interesting dog in the world. We got her little tiny, barely had her eyes open. I mean, she freaking does yoga with me. I call her my doga dog.
Oh, that's so cute.
She's like and so. Yoga,
but it's Presley yoga.
Well, it's, when it's with my dog, it's doga. and yet... I will tell you, I don't remember crying as much as when Presley had to have back surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And they essentially replaced her spine. And Carolyn, my wife, very strong. I mean, obviously emotionally affected by all this. I sat in the freaking waiting room and just cried like a baby.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which leads me to what I was looking at on the psychiatry.org site, where they talk about just the benefits, the health benefits of having pets and the fact that they are like family, right?
Yes. Yes.
That they're not just they're not like trash cans that you bring in and out and you discard or whatever. And so they listed a number of things. Mm. Interestingly enough, and we know a lot of these because we've seen, I think as both of us have traveled, we've seen emotional support animals and
I have written letters for clients.
and things like that, right? Where we know they help reduce stress and anxiety.
They definitely do.
I can tell you, they obviously provide unconditional love and support. The companionship is a big deal, particularly for elderly folks. The calming presence, I've seen it where they take these wonderfully trained dogs into the hospitals to visit with patients, pet therapy. But the large number of people who said that their pet is a true friend to them.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, they look at you, they recognize you when you come home, they know who their owners are. It seems like pets are the only beings that have unconditional positive regard. All of us humans have conditions placed upon the love, you know, but animals just love you adoringly, even sadly, when people are not good to them, they still love their owners and are fiercely protective. But, you know, let's not go into the child abuse, the pet abuse.
It might as well be child abuse. But
might as well be, yes.
But, and so what's interesting for me, having had a number of pets over the years, is just the personalities that they have.
Yes.
I mean, even lizards have personalities.
So cute.
Right, our two lizards were called Magic and Diamond, and it's like you could tell the difference of them just because of the way they acted, the way they walked, the way they looked at you, you know, and even my dad's horses, and it's like the horses have different personalities and respond to you. Yeah. And by the way, if you ever want to see the interaction between human and large sentient being, it's a rider and a horse, and how you sit on the horse and how your physicality.
Equestrian therapy has incredible benefits for trauma, sexual trauma recovery, trauma recovery, accidents. It's incredible. The way a sweet, huge animal that can be potentially dangerous can then also be so tender and loving and gentle. And it just, equestrian therapy is legitimate. And then there's also, you know, all, like you mentioned, the hospitals, you know, hospitals are too clean and too small to bring a horse into, but you can bring a small cat or a small dog in, and they can be incredibly helpful on children's wards, on other wards where people are hospitalized for a period of time. Great benefits.
And so the interesting thing when we talk about hospitals, for example, the other thing, I happened to get on the Purina website, which specializes in, you know, pet care. I did not realize that there are actually studies that being with a pet can increase your oxytocin, which improves your mood.
Absolutely.
And lower your triglycerides, which lowers your chances of heart disease and stroke. So
lowers your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Petting an animal, even if it's not yours, the act and the sensation of petting an animal will lower your blood pressure. Lots of studies about that. Great for high blood pressure treatment. If you're trying to manage your blood pressure and you're not doing well with your medication, talk to your doctor about pet therapy.
but I think it's important for us also, at least it's important for me to get across to people, right? These are not toys. And if you're going to go out and say, I'm going to get a pet, this is a lifelong commitment. You know, it happens to be a big deal with me. These kill and no-kill shelters, they're just overwhelmed with animals. And it happened during COVID, everybody went out and got a pet. COVID, we came out of COVID and people dumped their pets. And I've yet to understand people dumping an animal on the side of the road. I don't get it.
Easter has an influx of little chicks that are dumped because people get the little chicks for Easter and they don't actually want to care for or raise chickens. And so the abuse that we see to chicks or bunnies around Easter time is awful. So you bring up a good point, which is, and so does my little tortoise Saturday Night Live reference, which is be mindful of the life expectancy of the animal, especially if you're going to give that animal to a child. You can't ask a child at age six to make a 90-year commitment to a cockatoo, you know, or a 150-year commitment to a tortoise. You need to have that kind of plan. Likewise, know the life expectancy. Little dogs live longer than big dogs. Big dogs tend to only live about 10 years, which, oh, that reminds me. So in all transparency, I currently do not have a pet for two reasons. Number one, the last dog that I had, he was a Rottie. He lived to be 13. And I love that dog. Talk about a personality. He was such a cuddle bear. He always thought he was like a lap dog, even though he was 125 pounds. And the day that he died, I came home for the very first time in my entire adult life to an empty home. Mm-hmm. No roommates, no husband, no family members, no other living animal to greet me. And I sat in my car holding his collar in the rain for about an hour because I just couldn't walk in the door. It was so painful that I said to myself, it's so painful. I can't imagine going through this again in 10 years. So I'm going to wait until I feel healed before I get another animal. I did it very mindfully. I was already a grief and loss specialist at the time. I did not replace my loss immediately. I processed my grief very intentionally. But then, you know, the kind of the 10-year mark came around, or whatever year came around, and I was traveling so much without a lot of the ability. I didn't want to put I didn't have local people that would take my pet or the ability to take my pet. And so I didn't want it. I don't mind, you know, putting somebody in a certain kind of a place that takes care of them while you're gone. But I was traveling so much that I didn't feel that was a good quality of life for a child. And Brian and I just talked about last night how there are basically no downsides to having a dog. Well, I think I even said a child accidentally, didn't I?
You did. That's funny listening. I wasn't going to correct you. Yeah.
I just realized that. But Brian and I were talking just last night about how, like, we both love pets so much and find them to be so beneficial for our well-being that as soon as we can figure out a way to have the right balance between travel and community members that will take care of them and make sure they have a good life while we're away, then we will get another animal. But I cannot wait. I'm jumping at the bit. We started talking about fostering. I had a client that recently fostered.
I've got friends that do that.
And it was so bizarre. I hadn't seen the client in 2 weeks. A lot of depression and stress 2 weeks ago, get on the video call. And, you know, in this case, it was cats, you know, like a cat tree climbing all over my client. And just, you could see her joy and lightness come back in her eyes. It was beautiful.
Yeah. You know, I want to say two things. Number one, just kind of lighthearted. What you were talking about reminded me of yet another pet that I had. I forgot about this. That's easy for you to leave and travel.
Oh,
I had sea monkeys.
Oh, sea monkeys.
Do you remember all the ads about sea monkeys?
Yeah.
What they are, they're little tiny brine shrimp. And when they're, when they hatch, they look like monkeys. Little tiny monkey. And the aquarium had these little magnifying bubbles on them, so you could look in and watch your little sea monkeys play with each other. But and they come to you, I think, freeze dried, and then they magically come to life when you add water. So I point that out. In all seriousness, though, if pets are not an option for you for whatever reason, because in going through the studies that I looked at, you know, there's some big things that are incumbent or inherent or part of being a pet owner, and that is your pet is going to age, your pet is going to die. That's a huge worry for people. Health conditions, we go through that with ours, that there's that.
And it's expensive. Veterinarian bills.
Well, that's a whole nother issue.
You know, they're not cheap, and to take good care of your, you know, and they're not tax deductible. Your child's healthcare is tax deductible, but your pet is not. And so you have to be prepared financially.
Well, not only do I have the most interesting dog in the world, I believe I have the most expensive dog in the world, because I got to tell you, as you were pointing out, there's no insurance for spine replacement surgery.
No.
So you can imagine, and just as all kidding aside, I knew right away that, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, when we drive down to this specialist in Orange County, the special hospital in Orange County. Did I mention Orange County?
Wow.
And fully scrub-laden attendants with a stretcher are out in front.
Oh my.
And I was like, you know, this is not going to be inexpensive. But no. they're your babies, right?
Right. Or if you if you rent, and your place does not allow you to own a pet, that's a thing that gets in the way of people's ability to own a pet. So do you have ideas for people?
Well, so
if you can't.
Yeah. So one of the things, because travel arrangements, living arrangements are a big deal. Mm-hmm. And setting aside what I have, and let's be real here. I have seen people get around those rules by going onto Amazon and buying vests for their dog. And calling them emotional support animals.
Yeah, right?
We see those all the time.
Letters. I will say I've never written an illegitimate letter. I have written a legitimate letter for clients that see me on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. So that's, by the way, again, I know we're kind of going off in different tangents, but when you say things, they remind me of others. I am fully convinced at this point, coming out of COVID, and one of our dogs just died. So Presley is now grieving, because, you know, animals grieve too. I am fully at this point convinced that Carolyn and I are emotional support humans for Presley.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense, because it does go both ways.
Yeah. And so,
like I mentioned, the fostering and the rescuing is amazing.
Yeah. Because of that, we have challenges traveling. And Presley's 12 now, I believe. And so it's like, we can't just get up and go. We've got to make sure of things. So what I was going to say is, if pets are not an option for you to own, a lot of friends that I have actually volunteer to work with animals. So you can go into the kennels, you can go into the vet, and you can volunteer your time to be with them. And then you go and live your life. So that's another option for those of you who can't have an animal, or you're afraid that if you have one, you can't travel with them and they'll hold you down.
Speaking of that, I had never known this, Scott. Don't know if you've heard about this, but I met a woman when I was traveling on Kauai in Hawaii, who said that their shelter allows you to foster and care while you're on a short-term trip. So you actually alleviate the stress on the shelter by caring and feeding and taking care of a pet while you're on vacation. And then you take it back to the kennel or the location before you fly home. I just thought that is amazing, because I have a lot of time when I'm on vacation to chill with an animal and snuggle and walk.
Yeah, just to say, I know me well enough, because I've been this route listening to friends who do this.
Yes.
They're foster. Right. I'm going to get an animal. I'm going to name the animal. I'm going to fall in love with the animal.
Yes, you are.
And then I'm going to be like Carolyn's dad, and I don't know the exact number, I'm making it up. I think he had 15 dogs.
Wow.
Now, granted,
at one time they lived
in the South. He loved every one of them. It was like a whole pack of dogs.
It was a farm.
And I mean, every one of them was well cared for. And that's the other thing, by the way. If you know, when you have an animal, part of this is you you treat them well, they treat you well. And we don't want to get into the abuse part of stuff, but it's a huge responsibility and the payoffs are so big.
They are. Yeah. You know, surprisingly, again, last night when I was talking about this with Brian and I was saying like, maybe we could foster for a period of time while we're not traveling. And he's like, you want to get an animal, fall in love with it and then give it back. And I said, but honey, you raised seeing eye dogs. Cause he did. He raised three different seeing eye dogs, different labs. He only got to keep one who I can't remember the reason why it didn't pass. Was some reason why it didn't pass the final exam, but he only got to keep the last one. So, you know, it's time, but that's a beautiful thing too, to think, oh, I'm going to raise a dog that's then going to help somebody that is disabled with a vision, lack of vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I mean, I think, it would be hard to do 1 week or 3 months or whatever length of time to foster and then give them back.
So, you know,
but I dog sit. I love dog sitting for my friends. I'm a huge dog sitter.
Can you come back to California?
Yes. Yes. I would love to dog sit Miss Presley. Yes. I have dog sat a little dog called Sushi. My friend Annette's dog, his name is Sushi. I have, I am a godparent to one of my best friend's little dog, Angel. So you never know.
So fun stuff. So as we get near the end of the show, I'm curious from a therapist standpoint.
Yes.
What do you do when, you know, here we're talking about all the benefits of pet ownership and the fact that that everybody unequivocally, the studies have shown that the stress reduction is there, that the benefits outweigh the stressors. Do you have any words of wisdom you can give to listeners though? What do you do with the stressors? What do you do when, I mean, I actually was brought in to do company training for somebody for one employee. The company didn't want to single the person out. And so did it for the entire company with the understanding that it was for one person and they didn't want them to feel isolated.
That's a kind company.
And so I talked to this one individual ahead of time, just, you know, me, it's like they came in, I knew who they were, came in and I just happened to be talking to them because they went and sat front and center right before the show, as I call it, was about to begin. And I said, how are you doing today? And she said, oh, I'm so anxious. And I said, why, what's going on? Talk to me. What's going on? Cause I'm going to talk about stress reduction today. What is it that's going on? And she said, I'm afraid that when I get home, my dog will be dead. Mm. And this was like an overriding presence for her every time she was ruminating over the stressors associated with pet ownership. Any ideas what to do from a therapeutic standpoint?
Yes, a couple. Do you remember when we talked about the 9 contemplations of Atisha?
Of course, yes.
Right. And in the importance of meditating on the impermanence of life and adjusting to the impermanence of life, looking up those, what was the book from Joy? What was the name of the book? Where she was a hospice.
Oh, Being with character. Death.
Being with Death. Yes. I mean, you know, reading a book like Being with Death or finding an old copy of my mentor's book called Personal Death Awareness and working through those exercises. I think the trick is with all stress management skills or stress management things like pet ownership or even your family, right? A lot of people pour their heart into their children sooner or later, hopefully through reasons of that child growing up, aging naturally, normally, and launching. Sooner or later, they are not around every day. And so it's very important to develop a sense of resilience that you don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? So number one, I look at, okay, you have a pet, it matters to you. what are the other things that bring you joy? They may not bring as much joy. They may not bring as much reward. Same thing with children. So your children really matter to you and give you a sense of wanting to live. What else brings you joy? How else do you identify? What else, you know, brings something of value to your life? Very important to be well-rounded, because nothing is permanent. Your car, your house, your health, your children, your pets, your hobbies, nothing is permanent. So we need a large quantity of supplies for us to be able to deal with any disruption to our other coping skills. Like if you lose a particular hobby for some reason, and you know, you lose your best friend who used to play a particular game with you, and now you can't play that game because your best friend moved across the country. All right, well, what are your other coping skills? A pet gets ill or a pet dies. What are the other things that bring you joy, that help you cope, that help you feel like life is worth living? Your child graduates and moves out of the house, or hopefully this never happens to anybody listening to us, but I know I've worked with this. Your child dies. How do you keep going? How do you keep living? These are really important questions. Nothing is permanent. We need a very robust protocol for dealing with, you know, what's our show called?
What you're talking about
in a stressed world.
Well, what you're talking about is putting together a toolkit for resilience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 And there's a lot of different tools out there. It's important not to have only one. Yes. That's what I would say.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of our show.
We've done a great job, I think.
I want everybody to understand, just kind of go back and summarize the benefits that I've been able to personally get. And I think that you've talked about them as well, Michelle. Is certainly your pet, whether it's a lizard, a hamster, a bird, you know, whatever. Yes. It's the companion. My cousin had a pet capuchin monkey, and this thing was absolutely, he'd bring the capuchin over to the house. And if anybody doesn't know, these capuchins are like, they're not chimpanzees. They're smaller, and it wore a diaper, and it would smile at you. And the thing was freaking amazing. And it was like a little, it was like a little person, it is.
One legal note.
Yeah.
Please make sure whatever pet you get, it's okay by your local authorities to have that pet. Because something you might not know about Northern Florida is, people, speaking of lizards, people got a bunch of iguanas and somehow just thought, oh, well, I can't take care of this. I'm just going to put it outside. And those things bred. And now in the winter, we have warnings about iguanas. They call them flying iguanas. They drop out of the trees because they get so cold. So, you know, or the peacocks in Pasadena that have
that's a whole nother thing. I've had to deal with those. Yeah. I've had to deal with the peacocks just because they have now spread to other cities here.
Yes.
And in my former life as an attorney, we've had, because they're fully protected.
Yes. Or those lionfish that are now causing tremendous danger in the reefs. Because they were just people's pets that they let go in the ocean, and they're not supposed to be where they're being found because humans have let them spread. So, you know, we really can cause damage to our environment if you don't properly do your research, know what you're getting into, make sure you get the right life expectancy and the right personality and the right sense of you know, the legality behind what pet you're getting, and the right kind of pros and cons of the animal that you're choosing to love. Okay. That's my legal disclaimer.
You know, it throws me back to, because periodically you read these stories of these tigers that get out, and it's like,
oh, yes,
who the hell raises a tiger other than tiger. Siegfried and Roy?
King or whatever his name was.
I'll tell one quick story. It's not a pet story, but it's an animal story. I used to live in the mountains here in California, and I looked out one day, and all these fire trucks and sheriff's units have suddenly show up in front of my house. And I think I've told this story before on the show, but it bears repeating
I don't
here.
Know.
All these things show up and I walk out and I go, what's going on? And I'm one of the fire guys is reaching for an axe now off the side of the truck. Now,
okay.
In the mountains, when fire trucks show up and law enforcement shows up, one of your first fears is fire. In the mountains, yes. That's not a good thing. There's no smoke. No. Nobody's running around for hoses. This guy's reaching for his axe. And I said, what's going on? Well, it turns out that the family two doors down from us thought it would be interesting to invite a bear into the kitchen and take a picture of the bear in their home.
Oh, my God.
The bear did. The bear went into the house and then wouldn't leave because it was the kitchen.
And the bear is the king.
And the bear is not leaving. So the fire guys show up and the police guys show up. And as this fireman is reaching for his axe, I said to him, what are you going to do with that?
Yes.
And I said, because you know how close you're going to have to get to use that?
Yes.
Then they, honest to God, looked like it was straight out of the old Disney Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the dwarfs going off to the diamond mine.
Yes.
The hi-ho, it's off to work. They've got the axe over their shoulder. They've got this. And it's like this whole line of law enforcement guys are walking down the street going to this house. And I'm like, what the hell? To get the bear. And then suddenly I hear this little kid yell, run, bear, run.
Oh, kids are the best.
Apparently the bear got away. They never catch it. I believe the family was actually cited for bringing the freaking bear into the house. Just kind of, you know, taking it back to our show today. It's pets are wonderful, but they like any other kind of relationship. Make sure they're the right fit for you.
That's exactly right.
All right. Next week, got a special show. It is right before Valentine's Day. And so next week's show, we're going to, actually Michelle's going to, explore the secrets of a successful relationship.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Thank you all for listening to our show. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share this on your favorite platform so that we may continue to grow. Thanks to all of those. It looks like we're growing on the Apple platform. So thanks all of you for that. We're obviously growing on Spotify. And until next week, be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.